Hello, farmers, and welcome to the harvest season. My name is Al.
I'm Steve.
And we're here today to talk about farming games. Well, Animal Crossing, which is kind of a farming game.
A little bit.
So, obviously, welcome to Steve. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I know it was all last minute, but I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Can always always rely on someone like Steve to do things with literally, what, an hour's notice?
yeah, about.
So for those who don't know Steve, well, I'm sure everybody knows Steve, but just in case they don't, Steve runs the It's Super Effective podcast, the Pokemon podcast, and a number of other things as well. But most recently, you have also been streaming a lot of Animal Crossing, haven't you?
I have, yes. I kind of built my career on Pokemon, and I have branched out here and there, but this is the first time I've branched out pretty far from Pokemon, and I've been doing a lot of Animal Crossing content as well. Cool. And it's been... it's not surprising that there's a huge overlap between Pokemon and Animal Crossing fans. Oh.
Yes, yes. Well, we can get into that later on. So I asked Steve to be on. You may notice the lack of Rochelle. Rochelle is very busy just now and struggling to find some time to record. So you might hear some different voices over the next few months. Hopefully, Rochelle will be available again as well. You won't have to completely miss out on her, but you get to hear some other voices. So yeah, thank you, Steve, for coming.
Thank you.
So with that, Steve, what have you been playing recently?
I have been playing a lot of Animal Crossing, which we'll get to.
Obviously,
and
yeah.
still a lot of Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much about it. I would like to play Pokemon Go more, but obviously the everyone's staying at home.
Yeah. It's a hard one to play.
Yeah. The little events they do kind of help, but those are the two main things I have been playing myself.
I think I'm pretty similar, actually. I've mostly been playing Animal Crossing. I've dipped into Pokemon a couple of times to get some raids done. Got the new G-Max, well, not new G-Maxes, the new promoted G-Maxes. So that's good. Got them in my collection. And yeah, that's about it for me as well. I've had a little bit of Go as well. I have to pop in when there's events on, but I like you. I used to play a lot because obviously, I commute. So, well, I normally commute. So I have a lot of time, walking to and from work, that I used to play a lot of Pokemon Go, but yeah, I've hardly played it. Like most days I'm maybe booting it up and catching a couple of Pokemon and that's about it.
Yeah, it's a bummer because it's one of the reasons I like to leave my house.
yeah, definitely. Well, we'll get there again. It won't die. I'm sure they're fine for money.
Yeah, I don't think Niantic is a money situation.
No, and it'll be interesting to see the finances when they come out for this period. But they're obviously going hard with some events. So, but they can't rely on the eggs. So we'll see how they'll learn some new ways to make lots of money rather than just making us buy incubators.
I would say I hope so, but I've already given them too much money.
Well, yes, you're not wrong. Great. Well, we're going to go through some news. Obviously, full disclosure, Steve, I don't think you play a huge number of different farming games. I'm sure you've popped into Stardew at some point, but are there any other farming games you've played?
I've played almost all the Harvest Moons,
okay.
Except for the weird part where they like switch developers and then they stole the Harvest Moon name. I haven't done anything after that. I've done Stardew. Probably some other farming games that I missed out on, but yeah, that was anything when I was a lot younger. Anything that was similar to Harvest Moon, I gravitated towards. And then Harvest Moon got bad. And then Stardew came out, and I haven't played too much since, but I think some people would definitely put Animal Crossing in the same camp as Harvest Moon.
We call it farming games, but realistically, I like to think of them as just like calm life simulators, and Animal Crossing definitely fits that bill, and it's definitely the same style of play. So I guess the point is you might not know much about these games, but I'll go through them anyway. And if you have any input, then that's fine. It might just be a list of stuff because the news isn't very detailed anyway. I'm really hyping up this section, haven't I?
I'm so excited to hear all these new games.
So first off, we have an update for Autonauts. For those who don't know, Autonauts is a fun little planet farming game. So the idea is you're on a little planet building up a farm, and then you can move to different planets. It has a really nice kind of blocky art style, they have a new update. So in this update, you can fish. I think that's about
it. I'm into that.
There's also, I think there's a bit about Autonauts, which is around programming. So you can build things. I've not looked into exactly how it works, but there's a bunch of functions in it that you can use to do specific things in the game, which is quite cool. And so they've added in if statements into this. So for those who don't know what if statements are, that's literally just this thing is true, then you do something. Otherwise, you don't. So that should hopefully add some more flexibility to their functions.
I feel like overall, if a game has fishing, I'm definitely into it.
fish is good. I'm always intrigued as to how they do, because the fishing mechanics are always kind of similar, but also just enough different that you have to kind of get used to it. Like, you can't be fishing in Stardew and then immediately go to Animal Crossing and be able to do it straight away. It's like just slightly different. So it's,
yeah.
Cool. Next, we have an upcoming Village Monsters update. So for those who don't know what Village Monsters is, it's a Stardew-esque game, but all of the villagers are monsters and you're the only human. And this new update, they're adding plants as well as the crops that you could use before. So there's it's called the gardening update, and there'll be lots of plants to grow as well. So that's nice. We always like some flowers in game. And finally, the news update that I'm most excited about is that Summer in Mara, which is an upcoming game, which
I've heard of this one.
You've heard of this one? Yeah, it's kind of quite big. It's been in a couple of indie directs, I think. That is being sent to Nintendo and Steam for approval. So we are just waiting on the backlog for it to be approved, and then it will be out. So I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, I heard about it after the Kickstarter ended, but I was like, oh, this looks pretty good.
Yeah, I managed to get in there just before it ended. I'm very happy I did, because that money was like from 2 years ago. I don't have to care. I get it as soon as it releases. It's the best thing about Kickstarter. So yeah, very excited about that. You might have seen the trailer in the newest Nintendo Indies Direct. I believe they've announced now that it's going to be a Switch console exclusive for a period of time. So they are coming to other consoles as well, it will be a Switch exclusive to start with. So yeah, we'll let you know when that actually ends up coming out. And I'm sure we'll do an episode on it at some point, because both me and Rochelle are very excited about that.
Cool.
So that's all of the news for this episode. Not a very busy time period for games, which I'm sure you can all understand why that is. Which is funny, because I guess we're kind of coming into the period where it's normally quite busy for game information, coming up to E3 and stuff like that. We'll see how it goes. So, as I mentioned before, Steve is with us, and I really wanted to talk to him about Animal Crossing, because obviously he's been doing a lot of streaming of Animal Crossing. So I guess let's start off with Steve. Have you played previous Animal Crossings before, or is this your first?
I have played all of them. From the first one on in the U.S. on GameCube, I was a lot younger, and I probably only played it for, I don't know, maybe 20 or so hours.
Wow.
That's
almost nothing for an Animal Crossing game.
It is, yeah. I must have been 11 or 12. I was under the age, of course, like every 90s kid that, like, oh, this is a girl's game and I want to play the Smash Brothers because that's the boys game. So my sisters played a lot of Animal Crossing, and I played some, but the one I played the most was Wild World, which I think came out in like 2005, and I probably put close to 400 hours into that.
Nice.
And then the worst Animal Crossing came out, which was City Folk, and I only played that for about 20 hours. And then I played a lot of New Leaf. I think I maybe put 200 hours into New Leaf, and I want to say Pokemon came out, and then everyone stopped playing New Leaf, except people not interested in Pokemon, but I think that's what killed my enjoyment for New Leaf.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because obviously at this point in time, like, basically everyone that plays Animal Crossing is just, like, it's all of their game time all the time, you know, multiple hours a day, every day. So it'll be interesting to see when that starts petering out.
I would argue that it starts petering out this week.
Oh, interesting.
The reason I think that is because they did, like, three events on top of each other. They did the cherry blossoms, the fishing tournament, and then the bunny day.
Yeah.
And now there's, like, kind of nothing to do besides, like, focus on your town. But, no, that's not for everyone. Some people just want no one. Some people just don't want to terraform, and I do not blame them. After starting terraforming, it is both. It's frustrating. It's like adequate, but like adequate and frustrating at the same time, which doesn't make it. I run a family friendly PG stream. All my content is family friendly because I do work with Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, I've played, you know, Apex. I've played Destiny. I've played all of these very hardcore games, Monster Hunter. And I don't think a game has made me want to swear as much as terraforming in Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I think adequate but frustrating is probably a good description for how I'm feeling about a lot of things in Animal Crossing just now. I love this game a lot. It is really good, and like the attention to detail in many ways is really, really good. But that then amplifies when you find something and you're like, why doesn't this work the way it should? It just makes it even more frustrating because all the other bits are so good.
Yeah, it is. It is an incredible game, and it's exactly what... It's funny, because like when they announced it, I adore this game. I think I'm already close to 200 hours, and I'm already going to surpass my time with New Leaf, and I'm well on track to surpass Wild World. So I adore everything about this game, but I can't... Maybe it's because like it's now how games are, where you know, when Wild World came out, Twitter wasn't a thing. And so the only way I was really interacting with people in Wild World were through, like, forums,
yeah,
which, like, don't even exist anymore. And so, like, the people that went out of their way to go to these forums were, like, they had nothing bad to say. And,
yeah,
you know, I would go to people's towns. We would trade items. That was, like, the only way I was able to get, like, the complete modern set was by, like, trading and everything. And with, like, Sword and Shield. Like, literally name any game, Monster Hunter, No Man's Sky, Destiny 2, you see just nothing but complaints, and then you see, like, nothing but people being super positive, and, like, that didn't exist, or maybe that was harder to find when I was, you know, in high school in 2006, when Wild World came out, but it is hard to disconnect yourself being, like, this game is incredible, but also it's been 7+ years since the last one. And why did we take so many steps back in other areas of this game when it's been so long?
Yeah.
And the things that they did listen to the community about, like picking where a villager lives, making paths. You're like, oh my gosh, they listened. But then it's like, why are villagers no longer inviting me to their house? Why is there no comedy club? Why is there no constellations? What happened to Red? Where's the coffee shop? Where's the two police dogs? Like, where's the post office? Like, all of these things are just suddenly removed. And now I feel like the Pokemon fans of, like, you took away my Pokemon. And I understand that there's hints that they might be added back, but I think because of the time. Like, almost, it makes me think, like, Animal Crossing could be this game that comes out every 2 years. And it's like, oh, you know, this is a newer one. We added more features. We added more buildings. We added more animals, more dialogue. And instead, we waited 7 years for what is a great game. I want to make that clear. I do love it. But I can't help think, what happened to all the stuff in the last game?
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. And honestly, I've been thinking about this a lot because, obviously, for those who don't know, this is my first actual Animal Crossing game. I put about like 10 minutes into New Leaf before I felt overwhelmed and had to put it down. What I really like about this game is how it can ease you in really slowly. But we've discussed about how that can be quite slow for people who know Animal Crossing and just want to get all of the shops and all of these things and all the tools quickly. But you're kind of essentially, you're gated by the number of days you've played on a lot of these things.
I think they did it really, really well, this game, where there are definitely hardcore Animal Crossing fans that they want everything right away. But for me, the first couple days, I had more than enough to do before I was like, you know what? Like, I right now, I still have a to-do list of things I want to do, and we're almost a month into the game. So, like, I didn't need a bigger store. I didn't need a clothing store. I didn't need the museum in the first 4 days because, like, I'm still doing other things. And I think you've probably realized, like, once those things get built, it's kind of like, okay, it's here. So for me, I want to say that, like, while those things are, it's kind of like, Animal Crossing is kind of like, kind of treats you like a little kid, where, you know, maybe for, if you remember back when you're like 7 years old and you can't wait for Christmas and you just want that one toy and it's been months and you're like, oh my gosh, this feels like an eternity. And then you get the toy and you use it. And then the next day you kind of forget about it. And then in retrospect, you look back and you're like, man, I obsessed over this for months and I got it and it was cool. And I think that's what Animal Crossing is with a lot of things, like a building or, you know, a character showing up. But I think what's more important, and it maybe it's because I've been playing so much of it, is I want more out of the characters themselves, because that is actually like the longevity of the game. At a certain point, you'll own all the clothes, or you'll finish the museum, and there's nothing really to do with that anymore. But the characters always exist. And they're the ones that add the life to the world. And it was definitely disappointing for me. Man, it sounds like I hate this game. It was definitely disappointing for me to see repeat dialogue from animals within the first, like, 72 hours of the game. And I was like, oh, man, we're already getting repeat dialogue. And, like, I'm only, like, 5 hours into this game. Like, so that was frustrating to me, because, like, when the animals do... Like, one of my favorite moments was... It was the first time it rained, and my villager Goose and my villager Julian being like one of the gayest characters in all of Animal Crossing, and I love him. They both pulled out rainbow umbrellas at the same time when it was raining, and then they started walking together. And I was like, this is like an incredible moment. Like, I love everything about this, because it's like, you know, the game has some randomness to it.
Yeah.
And then you talk to them and they just like, oh, I ran 47 miles and I got big muscles, bouquet. And you're like, but you've always run 47 miles. Every time I talk to you, it's 47 miles. Like, I just want a little bit more from the characters, because they are the longevity of that game. Whereas like, at a certain point, you might be done with your island. At a certain point, you might finish the museum. And, like, those are just such small short-term goals that I don't think, for me, matter as much as, like, the characters that make that world so lively.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. And I think this is the kind of thing that I obviously haven't really noticed that much, but I've heard from some people, like, you know, we've talked... Kevin, who you'll know from the ISE Slack, talked about that sort of thing, and how he feels like that has been kind of pulled down a lot in the game compared to, you know, adding all these great other features like the terraforming and the moving animals, houses and stuff like that. And I guess maybe that's just the calculation they made, that actually maybe adding in these other features will get it to a wider audience, but we have to sacrifice something. And obviously, you know, you then get into the same argument you get with, you know, 7 years is not actually a long time for a game, right? Part of the problem is that obviously a lot of games do go on the Pokemon yearly cycle, and you know, we see that with some games. But actually 7 years isn't a long time for a game. There are some games that have been developed a lot longer. But there's always these trade-offs that they have to make, you know, no matter how long a game is in development, there's always these trade-offs. And I guess to some people, and in some ways, the trade-off was incorrectly balanced away from villagers' personalities and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know there would be a riot. There's like 390 villagers in the game. I definitely know there would be a riot if they were like, let's cut 100 to make them more unique, which I would love because I think average Animal Crossing player probably, well, I'm making up a statistic, but I would bet like the average Animal Crossing player probably doesn't see more than 20 animals before they're done with the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. Now, obviously, there's like a hardcore player that's like, I'm getting every picture of every animal. If you don't know, like when you in past Animal Crossing games, when you reach max friendship with an animal, they give you like a picture of themselves. You can like hang the picture in your house or something. If you're a super hardcore player, you like maximize friendship, you get the picture, then you kick them out and then you get a new animal in to do it again.
It's
and
the then best thing like, to collect- do with your friends.
But even, you know, even when I played Wild World, and I'm just one example of whatever, I, you know, 400 hours in the game, I probably only saw 20 some animals because I worked so well. I didn't optimize, right? I didn't min-max the game, but, you know, I didn't want a villager to leave until I got their picture. Yeah. So I only probably saw 20 animals. And even, you know, and I said earlier, I've been playing since GameCube. And there are so many animals, like, I still have never seen before. Like, Goose is easily my favorite animal. And he's been around since the GameCube version. I think he was actually in the Nintendo 64 version in Japan. But I've never had him move into my town. So when now that I have him, I was like, oh my gosh, I love Goose. He's incredible. I think there's so many, like, the customization is really good. I think decorating the town and upping that from New Leaf is great. I'm just worried about like my situation when my town is completely terraformed, completely designed the way I want it. And then, you know, my house, I'm almost done with my house. I have one more payment on my house. Nice. And I'm almost done with the museum I'm almost done with the museum this season, right? Yeah. I've done all the March bugs. I'm about to do all the April ones. And so, like, I'll have nothing to do. I don't think there might be one or two new bugs that rotate in May or June. But, like, I'm almost done with that. And I'm still buying stuff. But then I'm thinking, like, besides events, what do you have to do for me? Video game. What can you do for me, video game, that will keep my attention?
Yeah.
And I think I'm very curious of what they do with that, because even if they don't do anything, I think they've at least learned what they can do in the future. Because like I know the devs have gone on record saying like, oh, we really messed up with City Folk. People didn't like that game. Myself included, I didn't like that game, but they learned so much, and that's why I think New Leaf was so well-received. And I do think this is the best Animal Crossing game, but I am, I'm just a little worried of, like, am I still going to be playing it in 3 months? Because I want to play it in 3 months,
yeah.
But there's only so much I can do, and if the animals are already repeating stuff in the first 72 hours... I have a sneaking suspicion they're not going to randomly have dialogue in 3 months.
Yeah, I guess you could argue that maybe dialogue isn't everything about the villagers, though. And you know, like you say, that there's things that they do and the way they interact. Certainly, I don't know whether you've seen things differently, but in my experience, they all seem to be not completely unique. Obviously, the same personality does similar sorts of things, but I found that hardly ever see the same person doing the same thing 2 days in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the one thing that I've definitely noticed is they maybe I'm just not good enough friends, but ever since the very first Animal Crossing, animals would be like, hey, I want you to come to my house.
Right, yeah.
And they would get mad if you missed it. And they'd be really excited if you came. And no one in this game has at least invited me to their house yet. So that's been a little bit of a bummer, but yeah, I guess maybe I just don't know what I want from an Animal Crossing, because like I'm loving everything about it, but I have this weird cynical outlook of like, I really hope something happens in this game where I continue playing it.
Yeah,
it almost feels, this is what it feels like. Feels like when you go to the store and you saved up all your money and you buy like a $300 Lego set, and then you're like, every moment you're putting it together, it might take you like 2 weeks, it might take you like 24 hours if you're a hardcore Lego person, and then you finish it, and then you just don't know, like, that's done. You could break it and tear it apart and re-put it back together. And that's like how Animal Crossing feels. Like, at a certain point, I'm like, well, my town's done. My house is done. The museum's done.
Yeah.
I guess I could start terraforming again, but but it's so pretty now. This is what it feels like to me. And I don't know if past Animal Crossing games felt like that, but also I feel like I didn't love them as much as I love this.
Yes, it could just be the imbalance there of... The more you like a game, the more you are likely to criticize its flaws or kind of big them up a bit more, because you want it to be better. You want to love it more. I think I wouldn't be surprised, and maybe this is just me being hopeful, or maybe it's me actually looking at how Nintendo have done things over the last few years differently to how they've done things in the past. But I honestly would be surprised if there was no DLC or chunky free updates to this. I don't know whether they'd be free or whether they'd be paid DLC, but I'd be surprised if there wasn't anything, because it feels like Nintendo, obviously they shied away from that for a long time, and then I guess with maybe like Mario Kart 8 was probably the first big thing that had a proper DLC, possibly Smash 4, I can't remember which one came out first.
I know people freaked out when Zelda got DLC. That seemed very weird for Nintendo to be like, the single player game is getting DLC.
But it was great. It was a good DLC. I loved that DLC. And I feel like kind of Nintendo have just kind of got into this. And hey, we've got Pokemon DLC coming this year. You know, like all of these games that previously we wouldn't have even considered having them now are getting them. And I would not be surprised if there was at least something, even if it's like a free update or if it's a big paid update. I'm not sure. But I would be surprised if there was nothing. Having said that, I don't think it'll end up updating the villagers' dialogue at all.
I would be curious if, you know, I had so many people come into my stream who have never played Animal Crossing, and because my audience is primarily Pokemon.
Yeah.
And they came in and they were like, this game looks really cute. And they watched me play it for a couple days. And you could tell that the people that were interested had a lot of questions to ask. Oh, why are you hitting the rocks? Oh, why are you catching the bugs? Who is this Tom Nook guy? Is that animal actually doing yoga right now? You could tell the ones that were interested, because they would ask all these questions. And so many people in my stream, they came back and they were like, this is my first Animal Crossing. I'm loving it. I totally get the addiction. And I don't think there was a single person that pulled the trigger on it that came back and said, I don't like it.
Yeah.
There are definitely still some people that were like, you know, I'm still on the fence about it. But everyone who was like, this is my first Animal Crossing, I pulled the trigger, I spent the $60, I love it. It's like great to hear, because like Animal Crossing, easily top 5 favorite video games all time for me. But the one question that always stood out was, and I think you and Rochelle would appreciate this, is how does this compare to Stardew? Which is like,
oh dear.
Such a hard question.
Yeah.
Because Animal Crossing is $60. Stardew, for the most part, is like, what, 15?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, and roughly.
feel like there's so much more to do in Stardew than there is in Animal Crossing.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, I would argue that nobody just buys one copy of Stardew. so you do end up spending about the same. But no, that's absolutely a fair point. I guess the difficulty is, it's one of these things where it's hard to kind of explain. But if you have to ask the question, you're probably not willing to spend the money.
Yeah.
It's an issue with all kind of big games nowadays, is whether the money is worth it for these things. And, you know, we can go through the argument, you know, we've all heard it, that, you know, these games need to be this price because they cost so much to actually make. But it's still hard to justify to some people. It's hard.
Yeah. It's not that, like, I think, well, I'm speaking for myself, like, even if it doesn't have as much content as Stardew, I still feel like it's worth it.
Yeah.
But Stardew has the things that keep you coming back. Like, oh, I have to check my vegetables and my fruit. I gotta milk my cows. Like, there are daily things in the Stardew, and there are daily things in Animal Crossing. I gotta chop my trees. I gotta hit the rocks. I gotta find my money rock. I gotta plant my money tree. But you would think that Animal Crossing could benefit. I guess you could. Any game could get a feature that would get people coming back. But like, it would be nice if you could farm vegetables in Animal Crossing, I think.
Yeah.
But then I say that and I go, well, you have people like the first week of Animal Crossing clamoring for fruit. Like, oh, who has pears? Who has cherries? Who has apples?
Yeah.
And then it's the same thing I said earlier.
No,
once you have it,
yeah,
it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. I guess the other issue then is that, you know, they're useful for a couple of weeks of getting a decent amount of money each day. But then once you've sorted out your turnips for 2 weeks, you've got millions and you don't know what to do with them.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, this would have been the third week for Daisy May, right? Third or fourth week, at least when we're recording this. And, you know, the first week I bought, I don't know, maybe 5,000 turnips. And the second week I bought 20,000 turnips. And this last week, just I had the money. I bought 25,000 turnips. Cost me 2 million bells.
Yeah.
And if I sell it for, you know, 500, which isn't terribly hard to find because the internet exists, somebody somewhere has it, I'm going to walk away with 12 million bells. Not a month into the game and I have max money, or not max money, but so much money that it doesn't matter anymore.
Enough money. Yeah. You're a billionaire for all intents and purposes.
So again, I love it. I think with like Pokemon, there's always something I can do, right? Like I'm trying to get all the Pokemon in a specific ball, or I'm trying to get a competitive team, or I'm trying to fill out a dex, or I'm shiny hunting. And so even though these are trivial things, it gives me a reason to come back.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for that in Animal Crossing, because when seasons rotate out, I guess like at the end of the day, I don't have to play a game every single day to love it. But I love Animal Crossing so much, and I'm just worried that I'm going to come in and be like, well, hi, Goose. Hey, Julian. All right, here's another t-shirt for you.
Yeah, and I feel like maybe this is the point where Rochelle would say that that's kind of the point, is that, you know, after a while, you're just coming in for a little bit of time, doing a wee bit, playing it, slowly getting progress, and that's fine. But I definitely see your point, and it will be interesting to see what happens with things in the future, because, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they had events locked behind updates.
Yeah, I know we're having an Earth Day event at the end of the month.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for that. They haven't announced anything after that.
Yeah.
I would assume that the peacock would show up after that. And he has the festival. He has like his own furniture set and stuff. He's really cool. So if the solution is to have events, I think that's awesome. And I think Splatoon, another Nintendo game, I think that did it really well, where, you know, you might have gone through the story in Splatoon. You might have done some competitive in Splatoon, or casual multiplayer and or competitive in Splatoon. And you might have fallen off. But Splatoon had a really good thing of like, hey, once a month there's a Splatfest and we're going to get a bunch of players to come back. And I think that worked. It might have benefited. I don't know how unless you're super into competitive shooters, I don't know how you get people to come back daily. But the Splatfest was a good thing to get people to come back. And so I guess if Animal Crossing has monthly events, I think that's really great to make people come back. The problem is when you go back, when you leave Splatoon for a month, you don't have to come back and be like, ah, well, now there's weeds everywhere. I gotta pick these.
Yeah, 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 that's true. I was actually quite surprised with how slowly they come back. Like, I think each day there's been like two for me to pick up. But yeah. I guess if, you know, if you spend 2 weeks not going in, that's like quite a lot. I was just, it's one of the things that people talk about, and obviously not having played them before, I was expecting, you know, I come in each day and there'd be like tens of them all over the place, but no, there were two.
Yeah, yeah, there's not. I guess also I'm there is the ability to visit other people's islands, which is fun to do, and that, that can definitely keep you coming back.
Yeah.
But you said, I'm sorry, I've talked so much. You said this is your first Animal Crossing?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
And you are enjoying it.
I technically played New Leaf, but I played it for, I was, in the last episode, I was talking about how I loaded it up and I spent about 5 minutes. And because everything is just there already, I felt very overwhelmed by it. Whereas this one, because there's like nothing to start with, it felt a lot easier to get into.
Yeah, I think the onboarding process in this game was very, very good.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm also one of the, like all your viewers who dropped the money. I am very happy I did. I was, whenever I buy a game, I'm always weighing up whether I'm buying digital or physical, because obviously digital is much easier to deal with. But you can't resell a digital game. So I always have to weigh that up. I did buy this digitally and I was very glad about that. I think this was a good decision. I'm very much enjoying it. So there we go. I think we're getting close to your time. Is there anything else you would like to talk about with Animal Crossing?
I don't think so. I really like it a lot, and I think it's perfect on the Switch.
Yeah. Do you presumably you'll have it on a standard Switch, because you plug that into your computer for streaming, don't you?
Yeah.
I had the dilemma because I have a Switch Lite and a standard Switch as well, and where if I'm not playing on the TV, the Switch Lite is so much nicer to play. So I had that dilemma of which Switch do I put it on. But I went for the Switch Lite and I haven't regretted it. But I'm sure it's very nice to play it on the TV as well.
Yeah, I am. I've been overall very, very happy with it. I also think, if anything, the delay of it really helped out. Not specifically because I don't know what was broken or what needed to be delayed, but I just think coming out after Christmas, where there wasn't a lull of games, was a good time for it to come out.
Yeah. Yeah, they couldn't have chosen a better day if they knew what was happening.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, that's definitely good. And I'm sure the delay only made it a better game.
It's also slightly interesting how I thought about this too, and this isn't like a complaint, but, you know, there was no updates. There was no anything for, you know, something like Wild World.
Yeah.
I think there was maybe one or two updates, maybe for New Leaf. I could be mistaken on, besides like the Welcome to Amiibo update, obviously that one came out. But like right when New Horizons came out, there was people duplicating the free Nintendo Switch they gave you. I don't know if you heard about this. They would like Switch and then like sell it for money, which is like funny because in retrospect, like you just wait and your money issues will be solved with turnips.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the first money week when someone had 2 million bells, I was like, wow, that's so many, and now I have 5. So
yeah, it's like a really weird way to like, I need money as fast as possible. Like, no, the money will come very easily. Wait like 3 days.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that maybe there was a duplicating glitch in Wild World, but that was so long ago that I didn't hear about it and I didn't exploit it. But it's interesting how this game shipped with a couple issues, and more interesting enough that Nintendo fixed it so quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are always going to be issues in games, but it's how you deal with them. And yeah, they've all been dealt with very well. I don't think there's any kind of game-breaking bugs that they haven't fixed.
Yeah. Well, I think they knew that players would possibly get stuck, so they put in the helicopter thing.
That was a brilliant. I've not actually had to use it, but it's a really good, and it's really nicely built into the lore as well, so it doesn't feel like just this is to fix any bugs that might come up because of things. But no, yeah, that's really good. Great. Well, thank you again for coming on. It's great to talk to you about Animal Crossing.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
If people want to find out more about you or want to tell you how you're wrong about everything, how can they do that?
Oh, very easily. You can do that on Twitter. I'll just do my Pokemon Twitter. It's at PKMNCAST. It's Pokemon without the vowels and then cast. And so that is my Twitter. I host a weekly Pokemon show every Monday called It's Super Effective. And I host a weekly Animal Crossing podcast where you don't get my opinions. Instead, you only get fun facts about the 400 plus animals that exist. So you can discover maybe an animal you haven't heard about. It's like a very short 10-minute podcast that comes out Tuesdays and Thursdays, just about the different animals and their birthday and their hobbies and their dreams and aspirations, which is a very good way to discover new animals that you might not have heard of. And that's called Animals Crossing Lines. So both are wherever you can find podcasts.
Which is not at all a difficult name to say.
Animals Crossing Lines. I needed to get the SEO in there. I needed the animals and the crossing so it shows up in searches.
Cool. If listeners, you want to tell me to get Rochelle back on the podcast, you can do that at The Scott Bot. If you want to follow the podcast on Twitter, that's at THSPod, or you can email us from our website, harvestseason.club. We also have a Patreon. If that's something you would like to support us with, you can get a link to that from the website as well. And I think that's everything. Until next time,
have a good harvest.
The Harvest Season is created by Rochelle Delaney and Al McKinley. Our art is done by Micah the Brave, and our music is done by Nick Burgess. Feel free to visit our website, theharvestseason.club, for show notes, including links to things we discussed, and transcripts for every episode. Thanks for listening!